commercial for Christmas. Well, everybody, as Joe said, if you have some commentary or you would like to do a head-to-head debate on YouTube, and you do have a webcam, that would make it even more interesting. You know, just as long as you're decently dressed, you're publicly presentable, and you're able to just bring whatever you have to the table, represent yourself here on United Public Radio Network. I mean, that's really what it's all about. We're talking tonight about a little bit of craziness. I mean, we've got... We've got, of course, headlines coming in. I'm watching the notorious now replacement election for the Alabama Senate seat. There have been runoffs. There have been primaries. There has been all kinds of controversy. And, of course, it includes Alabama Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore running against Democrat Doug Jones for the Alabama Senate seat that was left open when President Trump made his appointment of former Alabama Republican Senator Jeff Sessions, who is now the current United States Attorney General. And so this thing has had political football written all over it. There's a lot of vehemence, vitriol, and hate mongering being spewed back and forth. And I'm talking about both sides of the political aisle, you know, and I'm trying to be as objective as I can with Voice of the People Radio. Sometimes I put in my opinions, and, you know, we do like to say that the opinions of the hosts here on United Public Radio Network do not reflect the opinions, attitudes, nor is there any policy on behalf of the UPRN station management. So we're not being put up to any of this stuff. If we say something that comes off as liberal, we say something that comes off as conservative. As a host, it is basically our prerogative. The audience members, of course, are invited to call in on the studio line at 504-273-7379. Again, it's 504-273-7379 to get in on the Voice of the People radio show here on United Public Radio Network Live, which we are from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time. That's 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you happen to be listening to us and you're in the Eastern time zone and you're paying attention to all this that's going on with the Alabama Senate race because you happen to live in Florida, which is Alabama's eastern neighbor, or you're watching because you are concerned and you are, you know, in Georgia, Mississippi, or Arkansas, or Louisiana, or any of the other southern states, it's an interesting demarcation point for predicting what may go on with the 2018 midterm elections. Not to mention that it's kind of a pre-holiday, you know, end to the frenzy. It's like throwing people into a pool of piranhas, and you're hoping to see one person or the other stripped down to the bone. And it doesn't happen. I mean, it is done by the media. And there is liberal media and conservative media here in the United States, and each side tries to take one small bite at a time because they're just hoping that, you know, there's some blood in the water there, and then the rest of the piranhas on one side or the other are going to come in and strip the candidacy of one candidate or the other, And it's become a practice of destruction politics in the United States, which is kind of, you know, it's a sad state of affairs. There is, you know, there is no point of demarcation for conciliatory politics. There is no cooperative politics. There is nothing more than the mention of whether or not the Democrats would be able to take a majority in the House in the 2018 midterm elections. Nobody's talking about what's going to be done before November of 2018 because everybody's worried about whose seat's going to come up and how this or that's going to be affected. We've seen all of this controversy over the sexual misconduct allegations going down. We've seen where the governor of the state of Minnesota has to appoint someone to take the place of Senator Al Franken. There may or may not have been an appointment made. One of the things I heard in the media, one of those little piranha bites, was that the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, who is a female, may be appointed by the governor to serve interim before there could be yet another special election held that time. It's going to be in the state of Minnesota to permanently replace Senator Franken, who resigned somewhat in disgrace, even if it's a media-created state of disgrace over the sexual misconduct allegations. Again, folks, one of the things to kind of think about is that if there wasn't a grain of truth to what goes on with some of these sexual misconduct allegations, then some of these politicians would not be jumping off the cliff and ending their careers. We saw the end of John Conyers, longest-serving member of the House of Representatives career in the last couple of weeks, as well as the political downfall as at the time with Senator Al Franken. And there were some people who were touting the possibility of a Senator Al Franken presidential run in 2020 to try to, as the saying goes, take down President Trump. You know, they're tossing people up there because Al Franken quite laudably has a media friendly persona. But you've also seen in some of the outlets where someone like Democratic and liberal Senator Al Franken had a friendly media outlet, you've also seen the sexual allegation scandals that speared Franken's career take down several more notable on-air personalities and the chief executive over at National Public Radio, which, you know, some people would say, oh, that's like a liberal bastion state on the radio. Well, NPR, for all of its foibles and all of the things that they do, try to remain objective. And here at United Public Radio Network, not to be confused with National Public Radio, we try to maintain on an individual level as even a keel as we can. Not all of our hosts. I mean, some of our hosts are abashed liberals, and some of them are abashed conservatives, and they're going to make it interesting if they go head to head with each other. And you happen to catch any of that on the YouTube channel, you can look up United Public Radio Network on YouTube. By the way, catch the live radio shows when they're being broadcast with a webcam in tandem. And you can check that out. I mean, right now I'm looking at the cameras are pointed. It is 9:24 Central Time. And just to date the broadcast for everybody, it is the 12th of December of 2017. This is some coverage we're doing on the Alabama election, the special election. And Fox News, of all things, folks, is saying that Doug Jones, the Democrat, from the Alabama special election, supposedly at this point in time, according to the election returns, is being predicted to be the winner of the Alabama Senate seat. Okay, so at this point in time, with 89% of the exit polling done, and it is 9:25 Central Time, 10:25 Eastern Time, the Fox News channel is predicting that Doug Jones, the Democrat, is going to win the Alabama Senate seat, which was vacated by Jeff Sessions so that he could become the attorney general for President Donald Trump. So if this is to hold up, then this means that right now, with a 49.6% to 48.8% for Roy Moore, the Supreme Court Justice Republican from Alabama, who faced down all of those sexual misconduct allegations and created a media firestorm and eventually won the endorsement and probable the reluctant endorsement of President Donald Trump, because the Republican Party powers to be probably said to President Trump, you have to support our candidate in Alabama or we don't have a chance. And the president was probably not all that enthusiastic, because I think before his feet were politically put to the fire with it, I don't think that the president was all that willing to endorse, because the president happens to be quite open and flippant about what he wants to say on Twitter. And that's where he'll use it as a sounding board. The president yesterday in this morning had faced down yet another Twitter controversy for making an attack on Twitter against the senator from New York State. And that call made several members of the House of Representatives call for the president to be forced to resign. Of course, with the special election going on in Alabama, I think most media is going to ignore that. And I think, matter-of-factly, most of the Republican members and the Democratic members of the House of Representatives were actually going to ignore that call for the president to be forced to resign for his sexual misconduct allegations, because what he did on Twitter was post something that made a sexual innuendo, if you chose to read it that way. He didn't say anything blatant. You know, so people are trying to read things into what somebody like the president of the United States likes to post. And then, of course, the media just takes it and they run with it like a football. You know, they wish they could toss the president into the proverbial piranha pool, see how many pieces he came out with, but they just don't get the chance to do so. And it looks like Doug Jones is going to win the open Senate seat in Alabama with 49.5% of the vote on the exit poll so far. 49.5% for Doug Jones and 48.9% for Republican Roy Moore, with 91% of the vote being cast. Now, one of the things about it, too, is if this holds out and Doug Jones, the Democrat, wins, Doug Jones is basically winning a job here, and Roy Moore, as far as I know, basically just goes back to work in Alabama. As the way things had been predicted, if with the remaining 9% there's not any kind of crazy turnaround with the numbers coming in so far, then it's not going to be held up. It had been stated earlier that there's a possibility that it were it very, very tight that the Alabama State Senate State Assembly would have the chance to contest the results of this Senate election up until somewhere around the 26th of December, the day after Christmas. So far, with 91% of the precincts reporting in Alabama, 49.5% of that exit polling going to Doug Jones, the Democrat, as now being predicted to win, according to Fox News, that Alabama Senate seat. So we will check to see if this changes, and we'll also check to see if we have an alternative coming up from any of the from the other media outlets. Usually, if you have something like Fox, which is supposed to be a conservative media outlet, and they're reporting that the Democrat wins, then what you are probably looking at is that's likely the case. It's just, you know, it's if it was the other way around and we flipped over to CNN and CNN said that the Republican was winning, you know, then that would be even crazier, wouldn't it? So right now the CNN projection is 91%. So we are actually trying to do the fair and balanced thing right now. With the returns that are being shown on CNN, they are showing Doug Jones with 585,183 votes and Roy Moore with 572,380. And then a margin of 1.7% of the people in the election chose to write in candidates either as independents or for one party or the other because they didn't like either Doug Jones or Roy Moore, which is their prerogative. And yes, you could look at it and say that if that 1.7% of the write-in votes, if that was even split down the middle, it might not make that much of a difference. Right now, it's looking like 1.1% of a margin for Doug Jones in this Alabama Senate race. Their write-ins are 1.7%, so it would have to be heavier than half the people that chose. And I think a lot of it has to do with people being religiously conservative in Alabama, and they just looked at the case. They said, you know, to themselves, I cannot support the candidacy of somebody like Roy Moore, and so I'm going to do what I need to do and vote my conscience. And if the Republican Party loses the seat, then I at least know that I personally didn't support somebody that may have done something objectionable. Now, Roy Moore never admitted to any of the allegations that were put forward in the media. It is unlikely in the future that he is going to do so. I don't know exactly how likely it's going to be that any true criminal proceedings are going to be pushed against him. But one of the things we can look forward to, if it is a fact that Democrat Doug Jones has won the Alabama Senate race, is we will not have to look down the double-barreled shotgun of the House of Representatives and the Senate in particular, trying to push for a censure against someone like Roy Moore with all of this controversy on his coattails, winning the Senate seat, which was the big worry that people had, was if Roy Moore were to win the Alabama Senate race, that Roy Moore would then face censure in the Senate, where he would not be allowed to have speaking privileges on the floor, and he would basically be blackballed by the rest of the United States Senate and really would lose half of the voice in the Senate for the state of Alabama. And how this is going to work out, I believe at this point in time, now you're going to have representation from both sides. You're going to have a Republican and a Democrat. Democratic senator, both working for the state of Alabama. So when you look at it and you ask yourself, well, how forced are the political parties towards having to do reconciliation and having to do compromise politics? This actually possibly works out better for the people in Alabama rather than just looking at it and saying it ended the controversy with Roy Moore, and how it would be a black eye on the state of Alabama, or how a celebrity like Charles Barkley said the other day, it makes Alabamians look like a bunch of idiots, and it's time for the people in the state of Alabama to go out and vote and stop looking like a bunch of idiots on the national stage. Perhaps enough people listen to somebody like Mr. Barkley, who knows? You know, but right now what it does is it takes the balance in the U.S. Senate to 51 Republicans, 49 Democrats. It gives the Democrats a seat gain in the Senate. And, you know, it's just, you know, it is what it is. When you live in the United States of America, you have the opportunity to participate in the electoral process directly. And this should be an example to everyone out there that whether you believe in one party or the other, that you say that this party, you know, carries my voice, or I just disagree with what's going on, you have the chance to go out on election day. And so far, more than a million people who were registered to vote in the state of Alabama have done so tonight. They have gone out. They have made the voice of the people clearly heard in this case. And so far, with 92% of the projection in, you know, it is now looking like Democrat Doug Jones will win the Alabama Senate race, 592,285 to 583,065 for Roy Moore. Now, one thing, you know, to also keep in mind, depending on the margin of victory here, right now it is 49.5% for Jones and 48.8% for Moore. The ballots for mail-in and the overseas ballots for personnel serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. Thank you for those who are serving right now. All of those absentee ballots have to be counted, and so there will be a period of up to a week, I believe it is, after Election Day here, where the state has to receive all of those absentee mail-in ballots from people who are overseas, serving in the armed forces and otherwise, and those votes also have to be tallied. So Mr. Jones will have to have enough of a margin of victory so that that percentage of Alabamians serving our country and otherwise out of the state will not be able to tip the vote into the favor of Roy Moore. And so perhaps it is going to be definitively called before the end of the night. So it's now up to 93% on the projection. And I think a big thing that hurts both parties in this case is the fact that there were so many write-ins. There were 20,493 write-ins so far. And Doug Jones just went over the 600,000 vote mark on the counter that is being updated on my screen. CNN has projected that Democrat Doug Jones wins the Alabama Senate race, and so it's now up to, you know, a margin of a little more than 11,000 right now. So those write-ins, even if they were split, you would still be looking at something like 49% for Jones and 48% for Moore. So it may end up being definitive before midnight, before the carriage turns back into the pumpkin for either Mr. Doug Jones or Mr. Roy Moore. But what you can say about all of this is it just goes to prove yet again how divisive the politics have become in the United States. When you have to have a replacement election in a state that garners all of the national attention, you know, and what you don't have in the House and you don't have right now is any kind of bipartisanship. There is no cooperation between the two sides to push any kind of legislation. We're still sitting 2 weeks before Christmas holiday in the United States without everything having been hammered out. We had a surreptitious voting of yes on the Republican-led Trump tax plan, which was pushed through in the middle of the night a couple of weekends ago. All of that stuff has to go to committee, but what it looks like to the average American voter is not anything is really getting done other than aisle bickering, one side over the other, one side trying to drown the other side out, rather than trying to solve anything for the issues that are facing the country. So perhaps the state of Alabama may become an example where now you have a Democratic senator-elect to serve out the rest of Jeff Sessions' term in the U.S. Senate. And you may see some compromise politics going in between the two senators in Alabama to make the voice of the people in Alabama more cooperative and more compromising and more even-handed and level, and perhaps some people who feel that they've been underrepresented and disenfranchised in Alabama feel that they have been vindicated. You know, it's most likely, as people would say, they try to break things down, you know, again according to urban lines versus rural lines, and where there are different beliefs that are put into play, and there are people who just for their own personal and religious reasons cannot support a candidate like Democrat Doug Jones because he did not come out publicly as a pro-life candidate in the state of Alabama. People were thinking that might be the tipping point in the race and that might not have allowed him to carry over, but it's looking now, with 95% of the CNN projection coming in, that Doug Jones has a 615,000 to 602,000 lead over Republican candidate Roy Moore. So it's at, again, still standing at 1.1% of a margin between the two candidates. It may, in fact, with 5% of the vote yet to be counted in the state of Alabama, may be a completely insurmountable lead for the Roy Moore camp. But congratulations to everyone in the state of Alabama and serving our country and otherwise overseas who have exercised their right to vote in this election. We'll see exactly how the final tally ends up at the end of all of the vote counting, because again, all of those ballots have to come in. And as we saw with the election, when you were here with us on United Public Radio Network work on election night in 2016, all of us saw an election result according to the Electoral College that I don't think anybody on the panel with me that night actually expected it to come out. And I don't know that we were, as a group, you know, seriously considering the option of a Trump victory in the Electoral College with the way that the popular numbers had gone. Now, there is, of course, no electoral college in an election, in a state election for a federal office like senator for the state of Alabama. So we don't have to worry about any caucusing or any crazy tomfoolery going on the representative floor in the Alabama State House. And the race has been called at this point. Again, going back to Fox News, they're reporting a 12,000 vote margin for Doug Jones, who appears to have won the Alabama Senate race. And it is reporting at the same level, 93%. So hopefully those election return results don't make you completely angry. If you are on the losing side of an election like this, do try to remember that the key to the American system is compromising with the other side. You know, you shouldn't hate your next door neighbor, you know, but you both should be able to agree with who needs to, you know, who needs to do what about being able to keep both of your yards cleaned up. And I think that's something that has been lost over the last few years with American politics. And I think that the election of Donald Trump as president really threw people for a loop and threw that whole idea of compromising in government, for some people, totally out the window. Some people are completely disparaging. Some people did not support Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump in the general election. They supported another candidate like Bernie Sanders, or they supported an independent candidate like Doug Johnson, you know, or they supported, you know, the Green Party candidate, and she sued after the election. So I don't think you're going to see anybody that was a write-in candidate suing about having their rights trampled on in the state election here either. I don't think that's plausible. I think after the hubbub that was raised with the primary elections and things, that people in Alabama know pretty much where they are, and that now is hopefully for them a time to accept what happens, accept that the choice of the people has been made in this case, and not be resentful and bitter over the results of a U.S. Senate race, but look to working with your neighbors in other parts of the state. If you live in somewhere that's called an enclave, and everybody, you know, everybody voted for your candidate, and everybody in the whole county is mad because your candidate lost because, you know, a bunch of yahoos in the big city voted for a candidate that nobody where you lived could stand, you know, that doesn't taste as good as victory. But, you know, you don't have to pay too much attention to the taste of defeat. You know, if you can find something to work on and get the taste of a defeat out of your mouth, work towards something that is going to taste good for yourself. And that's about the only advice I could actually give in a case like that. I mean, it's politics. It's divisive. It's America in 2017. It is not, you know, an entirely pleasant process. It's taking your bad medicine with no spoonful of sugar on top to make it go down any easier. And unfortunately, I think that this race in Alabama is kind of important for things to come in the American system. You know, over the next year, we're going to see even more divisive politics. We are going to see craziness. We are going to see, you know, the midterm elections. It is going to not just be happening in Alabama for us to pay attention to. It is going to be happening in every state where you have a House of Representatives member or a senator in the United States Senate who is up for re-election. It is going to depend on who the incumbent is. It is going to depend on the individual demographics of your state. It's going to depend, again, on how many people from your state are out of the country. They're either living abroad, they're serving the United States in the military, and those votes have to be counted eventually. So in just about every case where something's going to be close to call with our politics in this upcoming midterm election season in 2018, you're going to have controversy in everybody's picnic basket. There is probably not going to be an election picnic basket for anybody where the controversy ants don't crawl in and start chomping on your sandwiches and your goodies. It's just not going to happen. It hopefully doesn't end up being any more divisive than the federal election for president in 2016 was. There are probably some of you listening out there. You may have a friend or two on social media, on the internet, that you haven't spoken to since the 2016 election. You know, and the only thing I can say about that, folks, is quite honestly, you might want to consider giving some of the other people another chance. I know it's not the thing that a lot of people like to hear. A lot of people don't like to have people screaming in their face that they're a dirty liberal. People screaming in their face that they're a hard-headed conservative idiot. You know, but if you have friends that for one reason or another have gotten confrontational about what happened in the 2016 election, and it's the end of 2017, you know, maybe there's room within that social media universe that you live in, outside of your job and outside of the people that you work with every day, maybe there's some room in there to make some reconciliation. Not necessarily have to apologize for what you believe in or what you state or somebody else said something stupid, but to be able to compromise and work together is the big strength of America. That is, you know, fundamentally, no, that is not why we have two parties in the country. Fundamentally, the reason that we have two parties in the United States is because we have lobbyists and we have corporate interests and we have corporate interests getting into public policy. We have Obamacare. We have, you know, lobbyists controlling legislation through major influence involving our healthcare system, involving the practicality of a lot of Americans' daily lives, and involving exactly what's being done with their personal spending, all the way down to where they can or cannot afford to be a part of a tax base on something that may or may not be the way that the system compromises for people to be able to do things like actually have healthcare the way the Congress voted for everything when President Obama took office. 2009, you know, hindsight is 2020 for the most part, but the way the divisive politics have played out in America the last 8 years, you wouldn't be able to tell that there was any form of compromise available in the government, because you go back and forth. We have a seesaw, and you have a Democrat majority in the House, a Democrat majority in the Senate, and a Democratic president, and they pass a legislation with the Affordable Care Act that nobody reads. It's full of pork barrel spending. You know, there's a bridge being built, figuratively and literally speaking, in some county in a state that's so far away from where somebody lives in a state like Rhode Island that's so packed up with and so urbanized that there's just miscommunication and misunderstanding about exactly why these things go on. And the thing to do is to compromise and start to change the underlying fundamental process of how these things come about. If America is to succeed in the next 25 years, there has to be an end to industrialized corporate lobbying in the political system in the United States. There has to be an end to the Electoral College as the, you know, the chosen form for the federal election for the president and vice president of the United States, because I don't think the country is going to be very happy with itself as a whole if we have yet another presidential election where there's a popular vote for candidate A and yet the electoral vote comes out in favor of candidate B. It's just not the American way. The American way, which people have come to live with as part of the American culture, is a winner-take-all type of attitude. And that being said, the Electoral College points out to people that there can be a way within the system that the winner, popularly speaking, the winner that gets the most votes, doesn't get the prize. And Americans don't like that in their built-in innate sense of fairness, which is something that people share whether they're Democrat or Republican in this country. When you look at it, you know, you are supposed to win and everyone else is in second place. That's America. That's our spirit of competition. That's the way things work. If you win, everybody gets, you know, 100 people in America, everybody gets a choice. If you get 51 votes and the other guy gets 49 votes, you are supposed to win. That's the way it's supposed to be. And the Electoral College is just blatantly unfair when it is compared to that American scruple. You know, that thing that Americans like, which is, I got 51 votes, you got 49, I win. And in this last election in 2016, it was, I got 49 votes, you got 51 votes, I win. It's seen as inherently unfair, and we're not picking on the president of the United States per se. We're just, it is the primary example that's in most people's minds. They looked at it and said, how is it? And that's not fair. They may not completely comprehend the Electoral College, and that's okay. If you have enough people that don't comprehend why the Electoral College works the way it does, then that means that fundamentally, as a piece of the institution, it needs to be taken out and gotten rid of and gone so that nobody has to have an argument about it and say, well, why you don't, what do you mean I don't understand that? You're calling me stupid. Well, no, it's not that you're being called stupid. We're looking at something that dates from the 1790s. It was written into the Constitution of the United States because it was physically impossible for some people to travel from one part of the country to the other to be able to cast a vote and then have something not happen where somebody changes their mind. In some cases, the candidates have died. And this literally has happened in our past. You know, and we have had recently in the last 25 years, all you have to do is you go to your favorite search engine on the internet and type in dead candidate wins. And you'll see examples of that. Okay. So looking at this again, just to give everybody a purview on Voice of the People Radio, I'm your host, Greg Miller, and Fox News and CNN News have predicted that Doug Jones has won the Alabama Senate seat. With, at this point, 98% of the precincts reporting, 49.5% for Doug Jones, and 48.8% for Republican Roy Moore. So it is a gain in the United States Senate for the Democratic Party in the state of Alabama. And of course, if you tune into whatever your favorite news outlet is on television, even if the media outlet is supposedly slanted from the other direction, you are going to see the overjoyed expression on the face of Doug Jones as he comes out to the applause of the crowd who is there, the people who are supporting this man, and the electoral process has done its thing. the representative government in the United States is alive and well. A lot of people were saying that it was going to be impossible for Doug Jones to win the Alabama Senate seat during the primary season. There are all kinds of things. And, you know, I don't think you could call Doug Jones a career politician by comparison with Roy Moore. Roy Moore being a judge, being, of course, Supreme Court judge, elected by the people by a narrow margin in the state of Alabama. And so far is looking like without any kind of complete whack and hut type of activity going on, even with the absentee ballots yet have to be counted for the state of Alabama, does not look like it is going to end up being statistically possible for an absentee ballot victory for Roy Moore in this case. So American electoral process in action. Gain for the Democrats in the United States Senate, which means that you now have a different ballgame. Perhaps we may end up seeing more or less of 50-50 votes, and Vice President Mike Pence taking a seat as President pro tempore of the U.S. Senate, and having to cast that 51st vote one way or the other, depending on what the issue is and how he personally chooses to vote his conscience. And that is the job of the vice president, by the way, to break ties in the U.S. Senate. We've seen enough of that in the past year to kind of be generally aware of what's going on. I don't think it was like the most in a short period of time with the president serving in office for less than less than the time that he's been, but it just, it seems like almost everything that the vice president has been called in to tiebreak has just been tooth and nail, fighting, clawing, and yet the American public has yet to really see any definitive legislation come out of the House of Representatives and the United States Senate after the election of President Donald Trump. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that if we had President Hillary Clinton at the moment, we would see anything any different. I don't think we would have, have had some of the things go the way they have, of course, because you'd have a Democrat president, you'd have, more division, you'd have a minority presence in both the Senate and the House, you'd have more pushing from the senatorial side than you would from the House of Representatives, and I think that it would actually be even more stalemated than it has been with Hillary Clinton in the White House than it has been with Donald Trump as president. For one thing, you can say, for better or for worse, the presidency so far of Donald Trump has been more media entertaining. More of a factor in what's been pushed. I think that not only has the economy overperformed under President Donald Trump, I think that the media itself, the whether it's the conservative media or the liberal media you're talking about, but the media in general in the United States has seen an upswing. It has seen an increase in subscriptions to its various publications, be they online, be they physical, be they arriving over your radio, over your television, like we are here with Voice of the People Radio on United Public Radio Network. The media has seen an upswing simply because of the fact that Donald Trump was a media personality who was elected to the highest office in the land. And also it has caught the attention of the rest of the world, which has, republic elections. Representative elections, not to say that everybody that practices democracy as a form of voting actually represents their people that way, because we've seen time and time again that is in some places in the world not the case. We've seen the supposed acting of democracy and the voting of the people in certain places around the world turned against the people. We've seen referendums in republics which have voted in communist regimes tearing apart their constitutions, being defamed by other governments, including our own in the United States. We have seen the rise of we have seen the rise of a general terror in the form of a rogue state like that of Democratic Republic of the People's Republic of North Korea and all of that going on, to, you know, to see this in action is something that, whether you were supporting Doug Jones, who has won the Alabama State Senate race, not the state Senate, but the Alabama Senate race in the state to become the next United States Senator, again, replacing Jeff Sessions, who was the former Republican senator in the state of Alabama, who is the Attorney General of the United States. You know, if you live outside the United States, this election is what the whole thing's about. And it probably is a sign of what's coming, you know, except what's coming is going to have a lot more money thrown behind it. There are going to be billions of dollars spent on the midterm elections in the United States in 2018. And a lot of people are probably going to say, oh my gosh, what a splendid waste of money, all of these Americans fighting over the seats that you only are elected to every couple of years or every 6 years in the case of a senator. And of course, you know, members of the House of Representatives, they seem to almost spend more time trying to be reelected back into the House of Representatives than they do working on behalf of the American people. And then there's, of course, the influence of the senators over those representatives. Sometimes those representatives want to unseat those senators, and they come from opposing political parties. And so there's not a whole lot of cooperation between the two. You know, and so all we can really say is, hopefully, this serves as an example. We probably won't see very many, you know, upset elections coming up in the midterm elections. And I'm not saying that as a negative, but we're probably not going to see very many upset elections coming up in the 2018 midterm elections. This may be the only surprising upset election that we see going into the 2018 midterm election season. And I think that this Alabama Senate race tonight on the 12th of December 2017 actually is the kickoff fundamentally to what is going to be the 2018 midterm election season. I'm looking at it personally. Now, you could disagree with me. If you do disagree with me, feel free to email voicethepeopleradio@gmail.com and let me know that you disagree with me about it. But I think this one is like the kickoff in the football game, and we now have to see whether the Democratic Party is going to elect to kick the ball away, or if they're going to elect to have the ball kicked to them in this case, because they have won the coin toss. And I think that's maybe, you know, oversimplification, American football analogy, yes, hard for some people to understand outside of the United States. I apologize for that, but if you don't understand it, go watch some National Football League footage on the internet. I'm sure you can find some, and you will understand that there is a coin flip which decides who decides whether or not they want the ball at the beginning of the game, or they want to give the ball away to the other team. I think in this case, this is the winning coin toss for the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party in the United States now gets to sort of, for the moment, keep everybody up in the air as to whether or not they're going to elect to kick or they're going to elect to receive. Again, with 98% of the precincts in the state of Alabama Senate race, Doug Jones, the Democrat, has been predicted by CNN and Fox News as the winner of the Alabama Senate race. I don't think that it's necessarily relevant for me to go in and give you the election returns from NBC, ABC, and CBS. I think that's all going to kind of be corroborative. Everybody likes to play with the cable news channels because they're supposed to be the most divided. Fox News is supposed to be the super conservative medium And CNN is supposed to be the super liberal medium. So if they are in agreement with the exit polling data, then it's probably how it's is going to come down. And again, the rest of those absentee ballots having to be counted over the next week. You know, and it's just so bizarre. If you've been paying attention to the minority of stuff that has been going on with the insanity that involves the President of the United States and his prolific use of Twitter over the last day or so too, you will see that was responsible for the storm that happened in the U.S. House of Representatives. Several members of the House of Representatives calling, of course, for the President of the United States to resign over comments that he made from his iPhone on Twitter about the senator from New York State. Supposedly, the tweet that the president made had some sexual innuendo attached to it because the senator happens to be female. Again, take everything you hear from both sides of the media, I guess, with a grain of salt. Because I think right now, all eyes are on what's been happening here with this race, for better or for worse. And for better or for worse, the voice of the people has spoken in Alabama. And for tonight, and maybe for tonight only, Doug Jones, Democrat, is winner of the Alabama Senate race. And so ball is in play. Whether you're upset that your team didn't win the coin toss, or you are ecstatic because your team gets to make the next choice. And that is really what it's about. You know, in America, it's, you know, it should be winner takes the whole thing. And so are we going to see a groundswell of support during the midterm elections? Maybe somebody out there in politics land is going to take it upon themselves to create a grassroots effort to actually eliminate the Electoral College before the next election for president. I mean, we didn't see it after the election in 2000, and Vice President Al Gore won the popular vote nationwide, and Governor George W. Bush from Texas won the Electoral College, and that was fraught with anxiety, and it was all over the media, of course, because of the way that the election had to be tabulated all the way down on a precinct by precinct, county by county level in the state of Florida before the election could actually be called nationally. And that's because of the Electoral College. Now, you know, it's like the people in the United States kind of went to sleep there on the whole thing about political compromise, and nothing was done over the next 16 years to change that. And so lo and behold, it came out again and twice. We have had a Republican elected to the White House when the majority of the American people have voted for the Democratic candidate. And it's, you know, it should just be left there. It should be simple enough for people to understand that, you know. And we could say, well, whether or not it's New York and California politics versus the rest of the country, you know, that's not really what I'm personally saying about it. Is in order for it to succeed, it has to be passed by two-thirds of the people. It has to be passed in each state. It has to be voted on, and it has to be an amendment to the Constitution of the United States, because the Electoral College is not established as an amendment to the Constitution. It is actually written into the Constitution of the United States and its body before the amendments that we have. Like, for example, when Prohibition was passed, there was an amendment to ban alcohol in the United States, this production and sale of alcohol. To undo that, there had to be another amendment passed by the majority of Americans on a state-by-state level before the senators and congressmen could sit down and say, okay, the majority of the people have spoken, and they want the Constitution amendment to allow for the production and sale of alcohol. And not all states actually went back to production and complete production and sale of alcohol. There are places in states where you cannot buy alcohol. It happens. When it gets to the actual electoral process, it would have to affect Yes, every county in every state in the United States, constitutional amendment getting rid of the Electoral College would actually, unlike this production and sale of alcohol, would actually affect every registered voter in the United States of America. But if every registered voter in the United States of America wants to have their voice heard for an individual voice that counts at the macro level, at the big level, at the top of the pyramid, then they're going to have to do something to change something that has been part of our political process since the very beginning of the country. And it's the hardest type of change for people to make is the fundamental one, the one that goes all the way back to the beginning. And so that is where compromise is also going to be the hardest in a political climate where we have not seen this type of division and we have not seen this type of rancor.
Changeable.
And hopefully it is going to have stopped growing here. Hopefully this is a moment. And it could be a moment of celebration in the case of a candidate like Doug Jones, Democrat, who has won the Alabama Senate race to replace Attorney General Jeff Sessions, former senator from Alabama. And it could be, you know, a moment of reflection on the part of not only the campaign of Roy Moore, who has lost this campaign, but a reflection for the people who are the supporters of the Republican Party in the state of Alabama. And I think a very large portion of that 1.7% of the margin of people going to the polls who voted for Right It, they just couldn't stand either candidate. They didn't care for Doug Jones. They didn't care for Roy Moore. They were going to vote for Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. And it happens every single time. The only, that's the only person that has gotten a vote in the election, you know, since the idea occurred for them to be able to be put on the presidential ballot, is Mickey Mouse. So hopefully nobody in the sound of my voice actually did write Mickey Mouse in as their choice for the Alabama Senate. But hey, you know, if you did, email me at voicethepeopleradio@gmail.com. Let me know that you voted for Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck in the Alabama State Senate race. I would love to hear from you. It's been one of those crazy things. I want to apologize to anybody that listened on my social media posts. Thought that I could really get into the whole thing with the overblown reactions on the part of both sides with the social media thing in the last few days regarding the president of the United States and sexual harassment allegations and wanting him to resign. I don't want to leave you hanging, so we'll kind of touch on the aftermath. I think it's going to be an aftermath of all of that, because Voice of the People Radio will be coming back to you on Saturday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And so we will be live from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Then we are followed by Michael Angley, who you heard on the Discovery Paranormal Show before Voice of the People Radio here. I would like to thank each and every one of you for listening, even though I know that a lot of people who would have been listening to Voice the People Radio probably aren't listening to me with their television volumes turned down. They're watching what's been going on with this thing. For those of you who are tuning in on a podcast, hopefully what I have been talking about hasn't completely bored you to death. I really appreciate my listening audience, because without you, there is no Voice of the People Radio, because each and every one of you tuning in to listen to us on Tuesday nights from 10 to 11 Eastern or Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, you are what make the show happen. You give it its heartbeat. You are the reason that I am driven on to do the next show. And if you have any comments, suggestions, or you would like to be a guest on Voice of the People Radio, or you've written an interesting book, or you're an author and you want to talk about something, or you're Doug Jones that won the Alabama State Senate seat, go ahead and email me at Voice of the People Radio @gmail.com. We always love to take suggestions from our listening audience, or just have you say hi and not have to be trying to offer me illegal pharmaceuticals of a certain type from places like Mexico and Canada that I could easily order by mail order and have delivered to my house, and all I have to do is supply you with my credit card number. With that being said, thank you, everyone. Without you, there is no Voice of the People radio to listen to here on United Public Radio Network. Also, you will want to stay tuned because you have the rampant insanity following us here, and later on in the middle of the night, you have things like Dave Scott and Spaced Out Radio to listen to. So it's always a pleasure to be here with you. And thank you for listening. And I hope to hear from some of you. Really, I mean, email me. It's not exactly that I'm sitting here and going over to my home computer with a little thing of cheese and crackers and spreading the cracker with cheese, waiting for those emails. But I like to hear from the listening audience from time to time. And find out what's going on. Other than if you're just so, even if you're just so sick of this thing with the Alabama Senate race and you're just glad that it's over with, just send me an email that says subject, glad it's over, to voiceofthepeopleradio@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you again. Thanks to Joe back in studio control at United Public Radio Network in Southern Mississippi. As I know, he has also been waiting to find out exactly what was going to happen. One of our favorite hobbies is, you know, is political speculation, because, you know, it does dictate exactly what is going to happen now in the future. I mean, especially for, you know, not only for the winner and the loser and for the person that's involved. And of course, you know, Doug Jones being given this huge chip to carry for the Democratic Party. But it just changes the what ifs. And that's really what America is all about. Your what if now changes. You have 51 members on the Republican side in the Senate and 49 Democrats. That is the big change. That is what changes the odds, and that is what basically changes how the game is going to be played all the way through the 2018 midterm election season. So not a whole lot of spewing of hate and vitriol. If you would like to hear more of that. But thanks again, everybody, for listening. Without you, the listening audience, there is no Voice of the People radio. This is your host, Greg Miller, saying have a good night, everybody. Blog Talk Radio.